Well, thankful to be here with you all again. Sorry to hear that there was sickness involved. I didn't know that. Pray the Lord will bless them. Appreciate your prayers this morning. Very much needed. The subject that I have this morning is kind of a big subject, and I didn't realize how big it was until I really started getting into it, and pray the Lord will help me. Yes. I don't think I'm going to even come close to covering what this subject could be, but may the Lord bless what we have. Thought occurred to me as I was looking through the scriptures and how often the Lord used shepherds. And if you were to look through the scriptures, you would find it over and over, and as early as Abel, Abraham, Isaac and Jacob and Moses and David, and there were prophets, there were shepherds, and you can go throughout the scriptures, and if you were to study shepherds or herdsmen, or you would find yourself going in quite a few places. God has used shepherds over and over again. I thought about how the Lord brought the children of Israel out of Egypt as a shepherd who leads his flock. And he used Moses to do it. Moses was a good shepherd of the people of Israel. He led them through the wilderness by the help of the Lord. And then in Numbers chapter 27, verse 15. Moses spoke to the Lord, and it says, "And Moses spake unto the Lord, saying, Let the Lord, the God of the spirits of all flesh, set a man over the congregation, which may go out before them, and which may go in before them, and which may lead them out, and which may bring them in, that the congregation of the Lord be not as sheep which have no shepherd." Moses was essentially operating in this function, but he knew that he wasn't going to get to go much further. And he felt like the Lord needed him, or he felt like the children of Israel needed someone to take his place. And so he interceded to God and asked him to appoint such a one. And the Lord said unto Moses, "Take thee Joshua, the son of Nun, a man in whom is the Spirit, and lay thine hand upon him, and set him before Eleazar the priest, and before all the congregation, and give him a charge in their sight. And thou shalt put some of thine honor upon him, that all the congregation of the children of Israel may be obedient." When I was reading this scripture last night, it was like the Lord really blessed me and kind of shone a light upon it. And what struck me about these scriptures was that it spoke of him laying his hand upon him. And I've often wondered the significance of that and the laying on of hands. And I felt like the Lord spoke to me that Moses had a reputation with the people as a shepherd. They already trusted Moses. I mean, the faith that they had in Moses, I mean, goes well into the New Testament. They were still talking about Moses. And Joshua didn't have a reputation like that. And so by Moses placing his hand upon Joshua in front of the congregation was basically him giving Joshua honor or respect or essentially saying, I stand behind him. I believe the Lord is going to be with him. And you can trust him too, essentially, is what that is saying. Before the congregation, giving him some of your honor, or in the sight of the congregation, that they might respect Joshua as well and be willing to allow him to lead them. Another scripture that reminded me of this was in Samuel chapter 15, verse 30. First Samuel, I'm sorry. 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 30. And this is the situation with Saul, in that he sinned against the Lord. He was the first king of Israel. And in fact, when the people of Israel asked for a king, it displeased Samuel that they would ask for a king, because the Lord was their king. But the Lord said, let it be so as they have asked. And Saul was appointed king. And when the Lord asked him to do something, he failed to complete it. But what stuck out to me was that in verse 30 he says, Then he said, I have sinned, yet honor me now, I pray thee, before the elders of my people and before Israel, and turn again with me, that I may worship the Lord thy God. Saul recognized the necessity of Samuel's, I don't know what a good word to say, but Samuel's recognition of his position. Samuel giving Saul honor before the people is to say that the people ought to follow him, ought to respect him, ought to be led by him. But you know, Saul did not present himself in a way that was worthy of that honor. Saul disobeyed God and didn't have that honor coming to him for the people to follow him. If you want to lead people, or you want to lead the sheep as a shepherd, they must have your trust. They must be willing to follow you. Ezekiel chapter 34. So like I said, in the scriptures you'll see over and over and over again the Lord placing different ones in authority or in leadership to guide the people of God. In Judges, you know, one judge after another, Gideon, and all the way up until to Samuel being the last judge. And then it's kings, and you have Saul and David and multiple kings following that. Leaders of the people. Priests. You have Aaron, the high priest. And then you have high priest being passed down this leadership role year after year. And we find ourselves in a time during Ezekiel's time where the children of Israel are in captivity out of their disobedience. And this is what the Lord says, verse 1, in chapter 34 of Ezekiel. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God unto the shepherds, Woe be to the shepherds of Israel that do feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flocks? You eat the fat, and ye clothe you with the wool. Ye kill them that are fed, that ye feed not the flock. The diseased have ye not strengthened, neither have ye healed that which was sick, neither have ye bound up that which was broken, neither have ye brought again that which was driven away, neither have ye sought that which was lost, but with force and with cruelty have ye ruled them. These scriptures testify of a corrupt shepherd or a corrupt system of leadership, and that they fed themselves. They used the flock. They used the meat of the sheep, or they used the, some say maybe it was the milk. They clothed them with the wool that the sheep provided, killed them and fed upon them. When they were diseased, they didn't take care of them. When they didn't heal them, they didn't nurse them back to health. When they were driven away, they didn't seek after them. When they were scattered and lost, it was as if they didn't care. And they were scattered because there is no shepherd. They had overseers, but there was no shepherd of the sheep. And they became meat to all the beasts of the field when they were scattered. He says, my sheep wandered through all the mountains and upon every high hill. Yea, my flock was scattered upon all the face of the earth, and none did search or seek after them. I don't know, over the years and reading this passage, it always hits me, the significance of this, the atrocity of it, the shame of it. There are so many sheep that are being taken advantage of by their shepherds, or should I say by their thieves or their robbers or their hirelings, who don't really care about the sheep. But they care about themselves. There was a time recently where the Lord showed me that there are literally people who disguise themselves as ministers of God that they might receive gain from it. Purposely doing it to receive gain. And it surprised me, it shocked me to think that that was even possible, that someone could even think of such a thing, to even conceive in their heart to do such a thing. But yet it's spoken of in the scriptures that it would be so. And it is. They rule with cruelty and drive away the sheep that would follow the Lord. Throughout the scriptures, this is where it's come. One shepherd after another. And then it's come to this. So what do we do about that? This is what the Lord says. For thus saith the Lord God in verse 11, behold, I, even I, will both search my sheep and seek them out. As a shepherd seeketh out his flock in the day that he is among his sheep that are scattered, so will I seek out my sheep and will deliver them out of all places where they have been scattered in the cloudy and dark day. And I will bring them out from the people and gather them from the countries and will bring them to their own land and feed them upon the mountains of Israel by the rivers and in all the inhabited places of the country. And I will feed them in a good pasture. And upon the high mountains of Israel shall their fold be. There shall they lie in a good fold, and in a fat pasture shall they feed upon the mountains of Israel. I will feed my flock, and I will cause them to lie down, saith the Lord God. I will seek that which was lost, and bring again that which was driven away, and will bind up that which was broken, and will strengthen that which was sick. I thank the Lord that He didn't leave us sheep without a shepherd, that He didn't leave us scattered and broken, ready to fall sick and diseased without healing or without strength, without protection. The Lord has not left us alone all by ourselves. But He said that I will. He said that He would restore His flock. That He would lead His flock as a shepherd does his sheep. I thank the Lord that He didn't just say that He was going to do that, but that He did it. He has become a shepherd to His people and to His sheep. John chapter 10. Verse 11. Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is a hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth. And the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is a hireling and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Jesus is a good shepherd. He is the good shepherd of His sheep. He says the good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. But the hireling flees, runs away, saves themselves. It reminded me of David, a young shepherd boy who was keeping the flock. And when there was a situation come where there was a giant that needed to be defeated, David stepped forward. And his experience was that when a lion came to devour the flock, he ran and fled? No. It says that he went out and sought after that lion and slew the lion. And when a bear came, he went after that bear and slew the bear. A hireling would not have done that. A hireling would have let the sheep go. Why put yourself in jeopardy? Why put yourself at harm's way? It's only a sheep. He's got plenty more sheep. There's a lot. What's one? An insignificant one. Let's save the rest. But no, David had a heart for the sheep as a shepherd. And he sought after that one. The Lord is our shepherd. And He's a good shepherd of the sheep. I was thinking of that scenario of David being a shepherd, and it reminded me of a song. Many of us know it. Many young children quote it. But I think it's very significant because David was a shepherd. And he knew what it meant to be a shepherd, to be a leader of sheep. You know, sheep, they're not ferocious. Sheep aren't violent. I don't even know that sheep can really protect themselves. I'm not an expert on sheep, but I believe their safety defenses run. Hope he eats somebody else other than me. So David knew what it meant to lead the sheep. And this is what he says. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. As a shepherd of sheep, he places himself under the supervision of God, under the shepherdship of the Lord, and says, I am his sheep. He's essentially saying that I will follow the Lord. I will be led by him. And this is the result of falling under the leadership of God or the shepherdship of the Lord. He says, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. The Lord doesn't leave us hungry and thirsting and desiring more and leaving us in want. But he sustains us. I was thinking of Jesus, the bread of life, the manna that comes down from heaven. He says that he will provide for us springs of living water. He says, he restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. The Lord leads us along a good path. A righteous path. A pure path. A blessed path. I thank the Lord for where he leads us and how he leads us. He says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. I wonder how many times David led his flock through a valley of a shadow of death, so to speak. Or a fearful time, a dangerous time, a time where you might wonder, how will we make it? How will we survive it? How can we see the end of it? But remember, he knows that he's under a good shepherd. Who loves his sheep, who cares for his sheep, who's not going to run and flee when danger comes or opposition comes. He's a protection to the sheep. And David says, I have placed myself under this good shepherd. And so I will fear no evil because I know you're with me. When we place ourselves under the shepherdship of the Lord, we can fear no evil and know that God is with us. Yes, it may be danger on all sides. Yes, it may be darkness even on all sides. But we know that we're underneath a good shepherd who cares for his sheep, who protects his sheep. He says, thy rod and thy staff shall comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Jesus is a good shepherd who cares for his sheep. He causes us to dine in the midst of our enemies. I think of those who have been persecuted throughout the years and those who are even being persecuted now. and the testimonies that you can hear from those things. Not all of them were delivered. Not all of them were set free. You read the Fox's Book of Martyrs, and many of them weren't. But yet there was a glorified testimony there of God's presence with them, even in the midst of difficult trial, suffering. The glory of God, the power of God upon them, testifying unto the Lord as being a good shepherd who cares for his sheep. The Lord is my shepherd. I place myself under His control, under His guidance, under His leadership, and know that I'm in a safe place, that I don't have to fear evil. I don't have to fear circumstances. I don't have to fear trial, because I'm under a good shepherd. I believe it's very important that we know the Lord as a good shepherd of His sheep. Because I feel like if we lose sight of that, lose faith in that, as God being a comfort to us, a love, I believe it can cause our faith to waver. And you might wonder, did the Lord abandon me? Did He abandon me like a hireling would abandon the sheep because He's simply a hireling? No. The Lord is our shepherd. The sheep are His. And so that's why He cares so much for them, because they belong to Him. We are His sheep. And He's not going to let His sheep go lightly. But He's going to protect us and keep us. John chapter 10 again. We'll read verse 1. Verily, verily, I say unto you, that he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. If we would have the protection of the shepherd, the good shepherd, if we would want the benefit of the provisions that he provides, green pastures, still waters, protection from the enemies that lurk about, safety through the valleys of the shadow of death, we must hear His voice and follow after His voice. For one, we must acknowledge Him as our shepherd and say that we will follow Him, and we will allow Him to lead us and guide us no matter what circumstances may come. That we will surrender ourselves into His leadership and His shepherdship, and know that we're in good hands, because we know that He loves us and cares for us, and that He's going to provide for our needs. And we're going to hear His voice when He speaks, because His voice is our protection. His voice is our leadership. When He says, come here, there's a reason that He's telling us to come here. I think of my son, and I can't protect him if he won't hear my voice. When I say, son, come, and he doesn't come, it could be very detrimental to him. Because he may be standing in the street and I'm saying, come. I can't get to him in time. I need him to be able to say yes and come. For us to receive the protection of the Lord, the security and safety of our shepherd, we need to respond when he says come, when he says go, when he says turn. We have to respond to his voice, to give heed to the shepherd, that he might lead his sheep, that he might direct us and lead us to safety. It's important that we hear God's voice as a good shepherd of the sheep. It inspires me that the Lord doesn't just keep his own flock, but he seeks after the lost. He seeks after those who've been driven away, has a desire for them, and searches for them. I think about the scripture where he says, I'm not going to be able to quote it exactly, but there's 100 sheep and one goes astray. Does he not go after the one? Leaving the 99 behind that went not astray. The good shepherd seeks after his sheep. Even if it's just one lone sheep that's gone astray, he seeks after that sheep. He has a desire for it to be back in the fold. He wants it to be safe under his leadership. Pray that the Lord would help us to have that heart too, that desire too, that we would want those wayward sheep back, that we'd want them back in the fold, that the Lord can be their protection, their safety, their sustenance, their deliverance. I thank the Lord that He doesn't rule with an iron fist. The Lord is just, but He's also merciful. He binds up the broken. When we come to Him with a broken and contrite heart, He will heal us and restore us and bind us up. When we're sick, He will give us strength. He will provide for our needs. Let's go back to Ezekiel. Because just what these shepherds were not, God is going to be for us. He says that they didn't feed them. The Lord will feed us and sustain us with His Word, with His Spirit, with His anointing. They were diseased and they were not strengthened. But the Lord will strengthen us when we come to Him and seek His deliverance. They were sick, broken, driven away, lost. Our shepherd will not leave us in this state. I thank God that we serve a good shepherd of the sheep. That we don't have to wander about like the people of Israel did when Jesus came. In Matthew 9:36, He said that they were sheep without a shepherd. They were following Him around everywhere He went with needs, asking Him to heal their sick, to deliver them from evil spirits, praying that they would give Him hope. I thank the Lord that we have a good shepherd of the sheep, and that He has set the good example of what a shepherd should be. pray that the Lord would help us to follow His leadership. You know, I think of our services, Holy Spirit leadership is so important. May God be the one who leads us. May God be the one that directs us. That it's His voice that we hear. So that when we hear anything that's contrary to His voice, that we'll know it. We'll know that that's not the shepherd. That's not the shepherd that I know. May the Lord help us to follow under His leadership, His shepherdship, to hear His voice and be obedient to His call. I thank God that we have a good shepherd. I appreciate your time and attention this morning.